Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that because you have sent your Son, that he has died for the forgiveness of all of our sins and has sent his Spirit to live within us, that we can and will live the life that you intend for us, full of your joy, as you prayed in that prayer, that our joy might be complete and full. So, Lord, we pray that you help us to understand how to break the cycle of our sin, to allow you to come in and change us by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians 5:24 comes right after that list of the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, you and me, have, past tense, have already crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. To break the cycle of our sin is really the work of God in our lives. That you need to know and remember forever and ever. To break the cycle of our sinfulness, our sinful behaviors and thoughts, is the work of God in our lives. We cannot, by our willpower, our reasoning, our intellect, our psychology, change ourselves. We do need to learn to think differently. Romans 12, verse 2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. But it is God who renews our minds, because the rest of that verse says, so that we may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. Improve means to test and to live it out, and therefore show that what God has told us is in fact good and right and acceptable, and I mean, it's good for us. That we can test it and know it. So what is it then that we have to do? Remember the question from the brilliant young man who came to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, in order for you to inherit anything, what has to happen? Yes, somebody has to die. Okay, and they have to want to give you something, and they put it in the will. And then you get it. You don't have to do anything. You inherit it because, for whatever reason, they wanted to give it to you after they died. So you inherit it. So the man's question sort of doesn't make any sense. What must I do to inherit? The logical answer would be you have to wait for somebody to die. Okay. But Jesus then talks to him about obeying the commandments. And he says, I've done all those from my youth. He says, well, then one thing you have to do, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. You remember that story. And then he walked away sad because he had many possessions. And so in that area of his life, his possessions, he was unable to exercise his faith and to trust God to continue to bless him with the things he needed. He had to hold on to all those things he had accumulated. So he was very sad. We're not sure why he was sad, whether it was just because he didn't want to lose all those things, or because it was going to be such a big change and so hard to do. And we don't know what happened to him later. We don't know if he changed his mind and finally did sell everything and follow Jesus. But on that day, he could not do it. He said, I have obeyed all the commandments. And Jesus says, yes, but you are still greedy and you have this one idol left. You have to dispose of it. Come and follow me and you'll be fine. Our job Our work, our energy, our prayers has to go into simply being obedient to Christ. And God will change us. We need to learn to say no to the temptations, and the best time to say no is right away. You all know that, don't you? The longer you think about the temptation, the more likely we are to give in. Isn't that true? So to be obedient, we know what God wants from us. We know what he wants us to stay away from. And yet he has sent us out into the world, as Jesus' prayer says. I am sending them into the world as you sent me in order to redeem the world, in order to bring the people of the world to Jesus, so they too might have the Spirit and be able to smile because they are happy inside. Today's message is very simple. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of details or a lot of stories. We must obey. At first, it starts out very mechanical. Just like when you learn something new. You don't fully understand it. You don't even like what the boss is telling you. You think there's probably a better way. But in order to keep your job and the paycheck, you decide, I better do it the way the boss says because he's the one who writes my checks or reports back that, you know, this guy deserves his check. Or when you start a new habit, it's very mechanical. You put it on your calendar. You put it on your to-do list. You mark it somewhere so you can check it off. And like those of us who read the Bible or are reading through the Bible this year, we're almost done. One more month and we're finished. We'll make it through the whole thing. Okay. At first, if you've never done it before, it might be, you know, I have to remember to read those chapters today. And you do it and you check it off when you feel real good about yourself. And you do really good for a few weeks and you're really into it. You know, you're committed to this. But then after a while, it's like, oh, I'll get it a little bit later. Get a little bit, and sometimes 2 or 3 days goes by and then you got to catch up. And you do it because you're committed to it and you promise, so you're doing it out of duty and obligation, and you just do it. But then by the time the year's over, you've either lost all interest, because we know some people do. It's like, well, I was pretty good for the first 6 months, and after that I just lost it, and okay. Or you'll never stop, because it has become a part of who you are. The hunger for the Word, the realization of how much good stuff is in God's Word, the Bible, that he has kept for us. But at first it starts out, I guess I better sit down and read the Bible. And tomorrow, I guess I better sit down and read the Bible. But the more you do it, if you're open at all to the Spirit, and that's the other thing we have to do. We have to obey, and we have to give ourselves to God so he can work in us, because we can continue to keep him at arm's length. We don't have to let him work in us. We can resist that. We can still try to be obedient and still not want God to change us. So our job is to be obedient, to understand what God wants us to do and not do, and then do it. Just because he said so. Because he is our loving Father and Lord. And we will find out that he will continue to bless us because we are obedient. He will also begin to change us, to make us think and behave the way Jesus does. In those areas of our lives that we are willing to give over to him and to become obedient to his will. We know that even in the church, there are so many behaviors that we have given into the world. They have snuck in, and we're kind of like okay with it now, and we shouldn't be. We know what the Word of God says. We know that these attitudes and behaviors are wrong, that they do not please God, and yet we expect God to bless us. How unreasonable is that? Because if he blesses us when we're in the midst of our sin and telling him, you know, I disagree with that command, I think this is better. We expect God to bless us with that kind of an attitude. How are we to learn of his grace and forgiveness and his comfort and his peace when we keep telling him to leave us alone? Because he will, you know. He is a gentleman. He is all-powerful. But he will not force himself on us. But when we yield in obedience and in faith to allow him to come into us and make us the kind of people he wants us to be, he will be faithful. As the verse from 1 John 1:9 says, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and right or just. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. That's the sanctification that happens. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have already crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Yes, we have, but we still have to keep doing it. The Greek word probably is you have done it and you keep on doing it because you're not totally cleansed yet. So there's more work to be done. But our work is not by willpower to change ourselves. Our work is to be obedient. So when we know what God wants us to do, we need to say no to the temptations that would have us do something else. No matter how reasonable, God's truth is always better. If it's hard for us and we need help, that's why we're in a community of faith. That's why God has given us each other. And if you need to contract or agree with someone else to be that buddy who can say, you know, if I ever, you know, get into this, you know, or am tempted, I want you to kick me in the butt and make sure I say no. I want you to check in on me and ask me how I'm doing in that area of my life, if I'm winning the battle or not. And I'm willing to do the same for you. To be a spiritual friend, that we love each other enough to help each other battle against our sins, to fight temptation, and to be obedient to the one who died for us. It is a spiritual battle. And we cannot win it by our willpower. God must change us. And he will. And he's been working on that. We obey him. He changes us. That's how the cycle is broken. One last word to remind us of all that I've been saying before. One of his commands is to forgive as we have been forgiven. We pray that. As he has forgiven us, and as others forgive us, so we need also to forgive. It's a choice we make. That begins the breaking of the cycle. We confess our sin. We forgive others their sins. We ask God to forgive our sins, and we start anew by being obedient again. Sometimes we need the prayers of others against those generational sins that come up in our, you know, like mother, like daughter, like grandmother, like mother, like great-grandmother, like, you know that old story about the ham? 6-year-old asked Mommy, Mommy, how come you always cut the little tiny chunk off the end of the ham before you put it in a roasting pan? She says, I don't know, it's what my mother always did. So she called her mother. She said, Mom, how come we always cut the little bit off the end of the, you know, the ham roast before we put it in the roasting pan? She says, I don't know, that's what my mother always did. So she calls her mother, and her mother says, because my roasting pan was too small. Had nothing to do with the ham or the bone or how much fat or anything. It became a tradition. This is the way you have to cut that little bit off, you know. Well, no, just go get a bigger roasting pan, okay? Sometimes we have to pray against those things that have been handed down that we have no idea where they came from. And we can't ask great-grandma because she's dead now. And maybe even grandma is dead now. So we can't get an answer for that. And sometimes that's the way it is with our sins. I don't know why this is such a problem for me all the time. And I can't go ask any. They don't know either. So by faith, you pray and you ask God to break whatever influence was there, that whatever sin has affected that, that it is forgiven. Whatever sin you have to confess, that you confess it and you receive forgiveness. It's a spiritual battle we're against. This is not about willpower and creating new habits. It's about creating a new person. And God does that. We obey and we pray, and God changes us. Amen.